Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. We meditate on our gospel reading today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for gathering us together in your presence to receive what you have to say to us through your word. So use that word today to encourage us in our life of faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Many people are rightly lamenting the situation in Ukraine at the moment. 3 weeks after Russian troops invaded, we hear about failed negotiations between diplomats. We hear about failed attempts to create safe humanitarian corridors. We hear about increasing numbers of casualties each week. We hear just this last week the shocking news and images of a children's hospital and maternity ward being blown up in Mariupol, and on it goes. Don't mention the war, we sometimes say, but sometimes it's important to. Jesus took time in his ministry to talk about trouble and trial and tribulation. He took time in his ministry to answer questions about life and death. He took time in his ministry to predict wars and rumours of wars, and he took time in his ministry to grieve situations that he believed were lamentable. His sorrow in today's reading is not over Mariupol, and it's not over Kiev, and it's not over Moscow, but there are certainly a few parallels along the way. His sorrow for today is over a city that's very close to his heart, and that is the city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem. This place that he was presented as an infant, this place that he went missing as a teenager, this place that he came to prominence as an adult, very much the city around which his whole life revolved and to which his life was destined. Why so lamentable? Why so problematic, the city of Jerusalem? We could say some places just are and leave it at that. But it doesn't really get to the root of the matter, and it certainly doesn't bring us to the riches of Jesus' response in the gospel today. So to get some background, let's first look at Jesus' steely determination as he nears the city. At that time, some Pharisees came to him and said, "Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you." Now, we don't know why the Pharisees said this. You know, it's possible they're actually concerned for Jesus, but it's probably even more possible that they're trying to throw Jesus off course. What we do know, in no uncertain terms, is how Jesus responds. "You go tell that fox, I'll keep on driving out demons, I'll keep on healing people today and tomorrow, and on the third day, I'll reach my goal." Jesus has this steely determination, this unyielding sense of what he must do and where he must go. Like Margaret's mother that she shared about a few moments ago, this steely determination. "I must press on," he says. "I must press on, for surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem." It's a kind of a, you know, wry indictment of the city that he loves so much. The closer Jesus gets to Jerusalem, it seems the more resolute he is. The more determined he is, the more focused he is about where he's going and what will happen when he gets there. Nothing will throw him off course. No one will throw him off course. Not even Herod, who is arguably, you know, the most powerful and most horrible man in the world at this point. And yet even he will not throw Jesus from his course. Jesus calls him a fox, you know, meaning that he's very cunning and he's very cruel and he's very devious, and yet Jesus won't let that dissuade him. His response is so telling. His steely determination to continue along the right path, his unwillingness to sink to Herod's level and be dissuaded from anything than what he knows is right. As Paul says later, "Let us not become weary of doing good," and Jesus won't. I think part of our responding to the big problems in the world, and there are plenty at the moment, I think part of our response to the big problems in the big world is to continue to do good in the little world in which we find ourselves. the little spheres of influence over which we have some control, some influence to focus there. And so, for example, we hear something like Russian troops invading Ukraine, and it can cause us, or could cause us, to think, how am I ensuring peace with my neighbours and my family members? Or we could hear something like the mass mistreatment of civilians and think, okay, how am I caring for the vulnerable people in my life? And you see how when you take it from the big to the small, it's helpful in terms of a response, but it also works the other way, that our small responses contribute to a bigger response in the world. Because, you know, every big war is really just a reflection of the little wars that we wage every single day in our lives and in our hearts and in our minds. And so the little responses matter. We need to learn from Jesus this steely determination to stay on the right path and to never tire of doing good. Number one. Now, all that being said, Jesus does experience a very deep and serious and significant sorrow over the city of Jerusalem. It's not one or the other, right? He has a steely determination, but he also has a heartfelt compassion. And you see these two go hand in hand. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I've longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. There's this deep affection, you know, in Jesus' words. Jerusalem, Jerusalem. It's like when he says, Martha, Martha. You know, there's history and there's love. And there's affection and there's sadness and there's sorrow, and it's all wrapped up into one as Jesus speaks these words. You know, it's like when you pour your heart and soul into something. When you pour your heart and soul into your work, or you pour your heart and soul into a task, or you pour your heart and soul into your children, or you pour your heart and soul into your grandchildren. And what comes back is either disappointing or it's outright rejection of you. And then you start to see how Jesus feels today. You could not get a greater contrast between his willingness to go to Jerusalem, his willingness to die for Jerusalem, and the unwillingness of Jerusalem to receive him. It's a stark contrast. We talked about, at our study here on Wednesday night, we talked about pain and the universal experience of pain and the importance of not minimizing anyone's pain. And what I hear in Jesus' words today is a very real and very genuine pain over the city of Jerusalem. Megan and I had the opportunity to travel to Jerusalem quite a few years ago now, and even to the site where they believe Jesus may have spoken these words. But one thing that sticks with me about my time in Jerusalem is, you know, you've got this city with so much history and so much significance, and so much potential, and so many problems. And it's like chaos just bubbles under the surface there. You know, it's volcanic. You walk down the streets, and we were there at a relatively peaceful time, and you walk down the streets and you can just feel it. Like at any moment it can erupt. I don't know a huge amount about the history of Russia and Ukraine. Many of you would know more than I do, but I imagine it's similar. You know, this bubbling away under the surface, never far from eruption, never far from problems. And Jerusalem is very similar. Jesus experiences sorrow over what he loves. Jesus laments when things are lamentable. Now, we might find it strange and surprising that he does that. But it's encouraging for us too. First, because it tells us it's okay to lament. Secondly, it's understandable to be sad when things like this are going on. Thirdly, God not only knows how we feel, but he's felt how we feel. And he wants to hear from us about how we feel. Fourthly, that it can be helpful to focus on what we can control more so than what we can't. That's the little world thing. To think about what we can do in response. And fifthly, that there is always a bigger picture to keep in mind. And that brings us to his sacrificial goal. He says, on the third day, I reach my goal. You know, Jesus already has his eyes towards Easter. He's already thinking, third day, that's my goal. And that's where the mother hen imagery comes in and is so rich as well. Because think about it, this is one of the most turbulent times in his ministry. And these words are some of the most turbulent words in his ministry. And yet he draws in this probably the most tender piece of imagery that he ever speaks. Turbulence and tenderness. It's all held together in him. And he says, you know, how often, so often I've longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. The mother hen, probably like most mothers, is a fierce defender of her chicks. But interestingly, she is a fierce defender of her chicks who has very little natural defense mechanisms with which to do it. And so what does she do? She does what she can. She gets in the way, spreads her wings, draws them in, covers them up. She says, if you want to get to them, you're going to have to go through me. And isn't that the height of love and the height of care and the height of compassion? To put ourselves in harm's way for those we love. To have someone stand in the breach for us, to enter the firing line for us, to be in harm's way on our behalf. Now, every war has a lot of stories like that. You know, stories of bravery, of selflessness, of sacrifice, and I'm sure this one will too. They sometimes just take time to filter through. But we are blessed to have experienced something like this already in our lives through Christ. He is our mother hen, you know, he is our selfless savior. And when he thinks about heading to Jerusalem, he thinks about us. And when he says, I must press on, he means I must press on for them. And when he has a steely determination and a sorrowful heart and a sacrificial spirit, it's all for us. What he's going to do there in Jerusalem. And so we too press on, and we too press on as prayerful people for all the nations of the world and people who work for peace in our own little spheres of influence as well. For Jesus says to us, I have told you these things so that you in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we lament things that are lamentable. And we grieve when things happen in the world which grieve you. We pray that you would help us to do that openly and honestly and give us the words to speak when we do not have them. We thank you that your people of every time and every place have been invited to do so. And yet we pray that through that process you would also draw us deeper into our understanding of you and the peace you bring to our lives so that we can dwell in that peace and we can be people who make peace with others. Lord, may it be so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.